it goes without saying that this is a frightening time for Klal Yisrael. And that fear has the potential to penetrate not only our forces, but our entire population and perhaps the Jewish people as a whole. It's a time of uncertainty, and we've already experienced so much pain, and with an imminent ground invasion, we really don't know what to expect coming up. I thought it would be a good opportunity to speak a little bit about fear and the Torah perspective on fear, particularly in a time of war. So the Torah in Sefer Devarim says that the Kohen, before the soldiers go into battle, comes and gives them a motivational speech and tells them, you have no reason to be worried. You have no reason to be afraid because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with you. The Torah there goes on to say and to list really the several people who might be exempt from participating in a war, and includes someone who's afraid. The concern is that perhaps his fear would be contagious. You might say, well, even if you're afraid, it's better just to have you around than to not have you around, but we're concerned that you might make someone else afraid, that if you're scared and everyone sees that, that might impact them as well. David HaMelech is perhaps the prime example of a person who goes into war fearlessly. He not only writes in Tehillim, Gam ki elech begeitz al mavet lo ira ra ki atay imadi, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil because you're with me, but he also lives by this ideology. He goes and fights Goliath with nothing but a slingshot, not a sword, not a bow and arrow, but nothing but a slingshot, right? And he's still confident that with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on his side, he'll come out successful. So the question really is, you know, fear in the face of danger is a very natural emotion. What exactly is the issue with fear that the Torah seems to be warning about and that the Torah seems to be warning against? And what, if anything, can really be done about that? The Gemara in Nedarim asks the following question. It says, what did Avraham do wrong that resulted in his descendants being enslaved in Egypt? The Gemara seems to make a couple assumptions that Avraham did something wrong and that had something to do with his children being enslaved in Egypt. But there, Chazal give three answers. The first of which is that Avraham, when he went out to war, emptied his home of all of his students who he was teaching Torah. And criticized Avraham for having emptied out his study hall for the sake of war. He should have let them keep learning. Now, the Maharal comments on this. You know, first of all, what exactly did Avraham do wrong? It's perfectly reasonable to take people out to war with you. You can't just rely on a miracle. And second of all, what does that have anything to do with going down to Egypt? There, the Maharal explains that particularly the issue was Vayerek Chanichav. It says about Avraham, he emptied out his students. Right? He's not being calculated. He's not saying, how many people do we need? Well, I will take those amount of people. That's being responsible. That's being planned. And that's not relying on a miracle. The fact that he emptied out his house is that it shows that he wasn't being careful about who he needed. He was scared, and therefore he took everyone. And what does that have to do with going down to Egypt? Well, in Egypt, we saw more clearly than perhaps any other time in history the might of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to single-handedly wipe out the greatest nation, the most powerful nation with the most powerful military at the time, with no necessity for human intervention whatsoever. And the goal was that experience was supposed to cleanse us of this uncertainty, cleanse us of this fear and of this concern when we go out to war. Now we know that there is no one and nothing that can stand in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's way, and we have no reason then to be concerned. The idea is that if the fear existed within Avraham, if there was nothing done at any point in history, the fear would continue to exist in Klal Yisrael. But now, with the precedent of Egypt and Yetziat Mitzrayim, we can move forward with the confidence that there is no obstacle that can stand in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's way. So it would seem that the issue of fear going out to war is fundamentally a lack of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? A lack of faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can measure up to any enemy that we might face. The Maharal in his Netiv HaBitachon mentions an additional idea. which is that fear itself is what's going to invite harm. By example, the Maharal says, if you have a perfectly intact, complete, strong, solid vessel, that's something which is hard to break, even if you try. Right? But if you have a weak and cracked vessel, so even a small fall can shatter that vessel entirely. So that's basically what fear is. Right? The issue is someone who is fearless themselves, they're stronger and harder to break. The moment you have that fear and you're weakened by it, you're inviting the harm in. It's the fear that makes you more susceptible to get hurt in the first place. The Rambam takes things in a different direction. He mentions what the Torah says about the exemption for someone being afraid. And he says that the issue is the distraction. It's that a person goes out to war, he needs to not be thinking about fear and not be thinking about who's waiting for him and not be thinking about anything else but the mission at hand. Right? And if someone is afraid, he's not going to be able to focus properly. He's not going to be able to run in. He's not going to be able to be someone who his fellow soldiers can rely on. There's too much on his mind. He needs to have only on his mind the war that is ahead of him. Rav Melamed in Pnine Halacha adds an additional element here, which is that the problem with war is that it's very individually focused, or the problem with fear at war is very individually focused, whereas war and protecting Klal Yisrael is fundamentally a national endeavor. Right? In order to succeed in a national endeavor, it requires a certain amount of sacrifice and individual sacrifice for the national well-being. And fear is a disproportionate focus on yourself and your own personal well-being, right? It's an existential fear for your well-being when your mind is meant to be sacrifices for the good of the collective. Now, that all being said, we do come to a little bit of complication within this idea. First of all, the Pasuk in Mishle says, Ashrei Adam Mefachid Tamid. There does seem to be some sort of positive function attributed to fear. Second of all, we have examples like Yaakov Avinu, who before meeting Esav, the Torah describes him as being extremely afraid of what was going to happen. In which case, both on the level of precedent and what was exemplified by our role models, and perhaps on a fundamental ideological level, how exactly do we see the role of fear within our endeavors, and particularly our military endeavors? So the Gemara asks, the Yerushalmi in Masechet Sota asks, when the Torah is talking about someone being afraid, right, not being exempt from war, what fear is it talking about? And it's a debate in that Gemara. Rabbi Akiva thinks that we're talking about someone who's afraid they're going to die. Right? However, there's another opinion in the Gemara that it's not a fear, an existential fear, but rather a concern that a person had not lived an exemplary lifestyle, a concern that he was living a life of chet, a life of sin, and therefore he's more vulnerable. Right? And more susceptible to harm. Similarly, the Gemara in Brachot says explicitly that Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid, this pasuk in Mishle, is not referring to a fear of harm, but rather a fear that pertains to Torah and mitzvot, and not being able to keep up with your religious expectations in the best way possible. The Gemara in Brachot as well says about Yaakov Avinu that Yaakov's fear is clearly an expression of his perceived deficiencies. He says it himself, Katonti Mikola Chasadim, right? That I would, in theory, have the confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect me. However, it was because he had already done so much for me, I don't have the merit anymore to warrant his divine protection. That being said, I think we can say there are really two types of fear that we're discussing. One is a fear that a Kadosh Baruch Hu won't, or perhaps even can't, protect you. That's a fear that's crippling, and that's a fear that we don't want in war. That's a fear that we say, go home, rather than spread that to other people. And then there's a fear, which is a personally focused one. A fear that says, I'm not doing everything I could be doing. I'm not living my life in the best way possible. And in order to warrant HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection, I need to do tshuva. I need to make myself better. That's a fear that has the ability to build you as a person and to positively impact those around you, and especially to positively impact the atmosphere in the army camp. If everyone were focused on tshuva, if everyone were focused on kedusha, if everyone were focused on proper avodat Hashem, and the fear was motivating you to become closer and to do better, so that has a healthy place. It's the fear which is debilitating, and the fear that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't or won't protect you, that's what the Torah is concerned about when we go out to war.